there's two pains in life. One is to not get what you crave for, and the other pain is when you get it. How many of us have prayed and prayed and prayed for something, and after we get it, about a year or two later, we say, God, take this away. Yeah? Don't look to your left or right, just look straight ahead.
Aloha, and welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero. How many times have you prayed for something that you were just sure was the Lord's will, but your prayer seemed to go unanswered? Well, it's happened to all of us, and it kind of leaves us wondering if God really answers prayer. Is he even listening? Well, today you're going to find out that you're not alone. It happened to some of the greatest people in the Bible. Here is Pastor Wayne with a message entitled, When Prayers Don't Get Answered.
Would you take out your notes with me as we continue in our series called A Spirit of Excellence out of the book of Daniel? And we'll talk about when prayers don't get answered. You know, sometimes I gotta admit prayers get answered, and sometimes they don't get answered the way I expect them to. I mean, like I prayed for genius level kids, didn't get answered. But then my wife Anna prayed for a perfect husband and hers got answered. So don't, you know, it just kind of depends. I prayed for a raise, they raised my rent, they raised my insurance rates. I prayed for a PhD, I got a GED. Close, but you know, sometimes, you know, even kids pray, and they pray in funny ways, and these are from letters to God, or children's letters to God, and these are children about 6 to 8 years old, and they're writing these childlike prayers to God. And here are the questions. Listen to some of these. These are kind of neat. Dear God, this is by Neil, 7 years old. Dear God, I went to this wedding and they kissed right in church. Is that okay? Dear God, this is from Jane, 8 years old. Instead of letting people die and having to make new ones, why don't you just keep the ones you already have? I like this, a Norma, 7 years old. Dear God, did you mean for giraffes to look like that, or was it just an accident? I think I like this one the most, though. Dear God, thank you for my baby brother, but what I really prayed for was a puppy. Sometimes prayers get answered the way you expect them to, and sometimes they don't. And if they don't, please know that you're not in bad company. You're in good company because some of the elite of the faith, like Paul the Apostle, had the same condition. The Bible says that he had a thorn in the flesh. Now, we don't know. Commentators say that it was a very bad eyesight towards the end of his life. Others say that he had a physical condition. He'd go into depression at times. We don't know. But all the Bible tells us is that he had a thorn in the flesh. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul says, I prayed 3 times deeply, intensely, for God to remove this from me. And God's answer, my grace is sufficient for you. In other words, I'm not going to take your problem away. I'm just going to give you more grace to handle it. See, a lot of times our prayers don't get answered the way we want them to be answered. And that bothers us. And sometimes we say, is it because we don't have faith, God? Is that why our prayers don't get answered the way that we would like them to? You know, some of God's greatest in the Bible didn't have their prayers answered the way they expected. It's in Hebrews chapter 11 that we have a category called the Hall of Faith. Now, you've heard of in athletics, the Hall of Fame. Well, this is called a Hall of Faith. We just categorize it like that because some of God's greatest in faith end up and are named and listed in this category, people that were great men and women of faith. People like Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Sarah, Rahab, Jephthah, Gideon, Samson, all of these wonderful people, they put their names in this hall of faith who ended or finished well. Now, interestingly, they begin to describe their faith. And it says this, listen to this, I'll just read it to you. And you'll see it's broken up into 3 sections. Listen to the first section. All of these people like Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, elite of the elites. These are those who by faith conquered kingdoms, performed acts of righteousness, obtained promises, shut the mouths of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, and from weakness were made strong. became mighty in war, put armies to flight. Now, same breath, change gear. And others, same category, and others experienced mockings and scourgings. Yes, also chains and imprisonment. They were put to death with the sword. They went about in sheepskins, goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, ill-treated, wandering in deserts. Shifted gears, same breath. But all of these gained approval through their faith, even though some did not receive the promises of God. They were all commended by God. Isn't that interesting? These are all the elite of the elites. Some sounded like they had their prayers answered just like they expected. Others, just like they didn't expect. But all of them are in the hall of faith. You see, sometimes we think because our prayers aren't answered, it must be because we don't have faith. I want to dispel that myth right now and to say, no, that's not true, because some of God's best experienced the same thing, and God commended them for their faith, not their lack of it. And Daniel was one who was in the same category. Daniel, who shut the mouths of lions, Daniel was found there to be one of those elite. But you know, he didn't get his prayers answered the way that he expected them to. You see, God had given him a vision of what was going to happen with Jerusalem and the temple, the very place that he had been exported out of and put into Babylon, given a new name, Belteshazzar. But he had arisen to one of the most influential men in the country. But God in a vision said, Daniel, there's going to be some problems in Jerusalem. Because of the disobedience of the people, they are going to become desolate. The temple will be destroyed, and the people will be dispersed. And then he says, and there will be a certain amount of weeks, and the Messiah will come, and then the people will flee again. And he could, Messiah, what is this? Now, this is 500 years before the Messiah was going to come. And so he's troubled. He's troubled with this vision, and he's pacing the floor. And he says, God, I don't understand this. Now, I am a man of influence, and I know you want me to do something, but I don't know what. And so he launches out on a fast, prayer and fasting, for 3 weeks, 21 days he goes without food. And he just spends that time, instead of eating, praying. 21 days passes, 22 days, 23 days, 24 days. And he's thinking, what is going on? I don't have a clue. God is just not answering me. You ever feel that way? God, you just, I have no idea what to do. I am clueless. But it's on the 24th day that God has a courier come and meet up with Daniel. And at the top of our notes, if you'll read with me in your most theatrical voice, let's take a look at what he says. Let's read it together. Go. Daniel, do not be afraid. God has heard your prayers ever since the first day you decided to humble yourself in order to gain understanding. I have come in answer to your prayer, but the angel prince of the kingdom of Persia opposed me for 21 days. He's saying, Daniel, the very first day you said that you would humble yourself and pray for understanding, God dispatched an answer. However, this angel of the prince of Persia is another word for the enemy, the adversary of your soul. You see, Satan had already conjured up a strategy poised against you because of the influence that you have been given. He already had a stratagem to destroy you. And when God dispatched an answer, the angel of God to bring the promise to you realized that there is indeed a strategy. And for 21 days, he was untangling the strategy poised against you, to destroy you, to dissuade you from God's best. And so even though you thought nothing was happening, much was happening. And though your prayer wasn't answered the way you expected, listen, he said, it will always be answered more than you expect, not less. In a deeper way, not a lesser way. You just may not understand what's going on in the heavenlies. And you might think nothing's happening. Be careful, he's saying. Don't do an end run on God. Don't get impatient. Don't by hook or crook maneuver something so that you can get it. He's saying, Daniel, I'm so glad you waited on God, because there was much more than you'll ever realize was going on because of your prayers. You know, sometimes we pray and God doesn't answer in the way that we expect. He answers it in a lot more eternal way. Oh, it may not be the way you'd like, but God knows what's very best. It was right after the Civil War, they found this inscription, and it talks about that. Listen, I think you'll understand. It says this. It's a prayer. I asked God for strength that I might achieve, but instead I was made weak that I might learn humbly to obey. I asked for health that I might do great things, but I was given infirmity that I might do better things. I asked for riches that I might be happy, but I was given poverty so that I might become wise. I asked for power that I might have the praise of men, but I was given weakness that I might realize my need for God. I asked for all things so that I could enjoy life, but God gave me life so that I might enjoy all things. I got nothing that I had asked for, but I received everything that I'd ever hoped for. And almost despite myself, my unspoken prayers were answered. And now I am among all men the most richly blessed. Isn't that great? You see, God doesn't just answer prayers that we just throw up in small, insignificant ways. He'll answer prayers, but sometimes, oh no, not less, much more than we expect. Might not be the way we'd like it to. And so it comes to a matter of trust, trusting that God knows what's best. Now, do you remember some time ago, the buses that used to run around the city, right above the windows would be a little cord that would run, and then when you wanted to stop, you'd pull that thing, and it'd kind of buzz, and the bus driver would know that someone's on the bus waiting to kind of get off at the next stop. How many of you remember those? Yeah, I don't, because I was way before my time, but they would just, you'd kind of ding-ding or buzz it like that, and then the bus driver would stop. And interestingly, that's kind of how buses run. But you'll notice that even though you pull the cord or whatever it is now, even though you let the bus driver know that you want to stop, he still has the power to override me pulling the cord. You see, because if I'm going to, I pull the cord and he sees there's construction or problems, he's not going to stop there. He's going to wait. Or if there's a major traffic problem going on or whatever, and you want to get off, he's going to say, no, hang on. And he won't let you off until it's safe. And then, okay, now you can get off. You see, because the bus driver knows and sees a lot further than I can see from the back seat or one of the seats in back. All I'm thinking about is I need to get off. He can see much more than I. And prayer is like pulling that cord. But I've got to give God the power to override. And that's exactly what Daniel did. Daniel said, Lord, I'm praying. I'm praying for understanding. I ain't got it yet, but I know something's going on. And Lord, although I don't understand, I trust you. Because you see further than I can see. Daniel's going to give us some principles of prayer. Oh, you won't hear techniques of praying today. No. You're going to hear about more the heart of the one who prays. Not about getting issues answered, but getting hearts aligned so that we develop a spirit of excellence out of the life of Daniel. So what are a couple of principles that Daniel would speak to us about from the past? But would you write number one, and just looking at Daniel and how he stuck with it. Number one, would you write down, always pray with thanksgiving, regardless of your expectations. Always pray with thanksgiving. That's a part of our heart. Let's read what the scripture says in 1 Thessalonians. Go. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. He says, in everything give thanks, because this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. The what? The circumstance? The situation? The problem? No. What is God's will? That in everything you give thanks, regardless of the situation, circumstance, or problem. What's God's will? That you have a spirit of thanksgiving with which you pray. Because if you don't, something will happen to your heart. Let's read what he says in the next verse and you'll see. Go. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God. And the result? And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and your minds in Christ Jesus. Would you circle the word guard and underline your heart? You see, what the Lord is saying is when you pray with a spirit of thanksgiving, the peace of Christ, which surpasses all understanding, will what? Guard your heart. Would you write in the first bullet there, a thankful heart is a guarded heart? Because you see, there's going to be times when the answer to your prayer won't be as you expect. It'll be more protracted, more elongated, and it'll eventuate. There's some things happening in the heavenlies that you have no idea. And you're just praying for this one little thing to take place, and God is saying, there's a whole bunch of stuff poised against your family and your future. And you pull on the cord, but it's not time to get off. There's some things that I'm going to do in your life. And God begins to do some things. And he says, you know what? When you pray, keep a spirit of thanksgiving because it guards your heart from becoming bitter or hard or victimized or bailing out. Because how easy it is to start praying and God doesn't answer in the timeline that we want him to answer in. So we just say, well, forget it then. Well, forget it. If God's not going to answer my prayer, forget it. And we bail out and we get a hard heart. And God is saying, no. Keep a heart of thanksgiving because that's the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. And the peace of Christ, which surpasses all understanding. What? That surpasses all understanding. What? That surpasses all understanding. Because there's times you don't understand what's going on. And so God is saying that I'm going to give you something that surpasses your ability to comprehend because sometimes you won't. See, sometimes we get mad at God because we don't understand. And we bail out. You know what some scientists say? Human beings, in our brain power, human beings use up to 4% of our brain. That's it, 4% of our brain. And I have some friends from Palolo, that is a stretch to even say that. But 4%, that's it. So sometimes we will not be able to understand nor comprehend what God is doing because it's happening in the heavenlies and we're here on earth. And we get upset, our hearts get hard. And we say, God, how come we can't understand? Because of your humanity. But I will give you something that'll surpass your humanity, and that's the peace of Christ, that you'll be able to trust me. That you'll be able to trust me. And that'll help you to go beyond your understanding. And when that happens, you'll be okay, and you'll have a guarded heart. I had a friend in Hilo that his wife actually left him. She wasn't a Christian, and she just one day, and he became a Christian, she left him. She had some deep-seated issues from her past, and he was so broken. I said, well, no, we got to pray. We got to pray not only that she comes back to you, but more so, firstly, to the Lord, that she runs into either some snags or some saints, and sometimes they're the same, and that they will lead her to the Lord. Well, we prayed. 1 month passed. He said, how come God's not answering our prayers? You keep praying and you keep a heart of thanksgiving because God may need to do a bunch of stuff. We don't know. But he'll give you a peace beyond your understanding. 2 months. How come God's not answering? Just keep praying. 3 months. He got so upset one day. He said, I've been praying every day. I've been praying like crazy and God's not answering my prayer. That's it. What was that? 4 months. That God did something in his wife. She repented deeply and she came back, not only to him, but first to the Lord. And she came home. You know what, though? Because he had let his heart get hardened when she came back, he didn't accept her. He said, I don't love you anymore. I've been waiting too long. You decide to go another way. That's it. And his heart was hardened. And I thought, oh, you idiot. I can't believe it. You see, I say this to people, especially now during this time, if you don't give Thanksgiving, you will become a turkey. You know, just, oh, you gotta keep. I make up my own jokes. Are you kind of catching that by now? But you know, I thought, oh no, don't do that. Because what happens, see, if you don't guard your heart with thanksgiving, when God answers it, you don't have a heart to receive it. So he says, this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. You see, a thankful heart is a guarded heart. And sometimes things may not work out the way you like, but that's why God says, let's read Romans 8:28. Go. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Yeah, God knows, even though it's beyond your understanding. Stay thankful. To say, Lord, I know you're on the throne. I don't understand why this is happening, but thank God you're on the throne and you do. I trust you. I trust you. And you keep that heart guarded. Story is told of a guy that whose boat capsized way out in the ocean. And he's stranded on this island and he's praying to God every day. God, rescue me. Nothing. Year two. God, rescue me. Nothing. So he figures he just has to make for himself. He just takes the driftwood and makes a shelter and a house and learns how to make fire and everything. And he does real good, lives off of crabs and fish. Year three, year four, praying, nothing. One day his fire gets out of hand and burns his house down to add insult to injury. And he just punches the sand, says, that's it, God, that's it. I've been praying and I've been praying. You're not answering my prayer. Whole night he's crying out to God. Early the next day, he hears this chopper coming over, and it's a Coast Guard, lands right next to him, rescues him. And he says, how'd you guys know I was stranded? They said, oh, we saw your smoke signal. Good idea. You know, God works all things together for good. But we've got to keep our hearts right. But you know, sometimes we just throw up the most frivolous prayers. God, I want this. No. God, I want this one. No, that one's nicer. Forget this one. God, I want this. And the Lord's saying, grow up. You know, sometimes we just desecrate prayer. Like God is this genie at our command. And the Lord says, you don't understand the reverence of prayer, do you? No, prayer, like Daniel said, prayer was Daniel humbling himself in order to understand God. You see, God is saying to us, would you write down in your second bullet, learn to pray with wisdom. We get too frivolous. Learn to pray with wisdom. Just be careful. Be careful. Ecclesiastes 5 from the book of wisdom, Solomon reminds us, would you read this with me? Go. Do not be hasty in word or impulsive in thought to bring up a matter in the presence of God. Why? For God is in heaven and you are on the earth. Therefore, let your words be few. In other words, God is saying, I'm doing stuff in the heavenlies you don't even understand. You're on the earth. Be careful. Lest you blow off some steam here and yell at God here and throw a word here and become frivolous in your conclusions. Be careful, be careful, be careful. Pray wisely. Because sometimes we pray in the wrong ways, don't we? We pray for something and then God, we get mad if God doesn't give it to us. And we're in a bad shape if he does. Someone said that there's two pains in life. One is to not get what you crave for, and the other pain is when you get it. How many of us have prayed and prayed and prayed for something, and after we get it, about a year or two later, we say, God, take this away. Yeah? Don't look to your left or right. Just look straight ahead.
You have just heard part one of a message entitled, When Prayers Don't Get Answered. We'll pick it up right there on tomorrow's broadcast. Thank you for joining us for Words of New Hope. Until this same time, next time, for Pastor Wayne Cordero, this is Del Gibbs wishing you a great day in the Lord and aloha.
What if there were a place where you could discover, develop, and fulfill your dreams? A place where passion and creativity thrive in a community pursuing something greater than themselves. That place is New Hope Christian College.
New Hope Christian College is a place where everyone knows everyone. Your teachers really do care about you, they want you to succeed, and they're willing to partner with you to do whatever it takes to make that happen.
The education that I've received at New Hope has really equipped me to graduate market ready.
No matter where you come from, New Hope Christian College is a place where you can come to find community.
There's a place for you at New Hope Christian College. For more information, go online to newhope.edu or call 1-800-322-2638. New Hope Christian College, a place where dreams are released.